The text before us is taken from the 12th chapter of St. Luke, and unlike what is indicated, should be verse 48, where our Lord says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Few of you may have heard me tell this story before, but I always remember a particular interview I saw years ago of an African-American woman who was a distant ancestor of an original slave that was purchased back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And her great-great-great-whatever grandfather had been purchased at a slave auction. And when the plantation owner, I believe it was out in one of the Carolinas, when he brought this slave back to his plantation and began putting him to work, it became very apparent to this slave that this master was a very tender-hearted person, rather benevolent. And as time went on, he built for him a house on his property. In fact, according to this woman, the accommodations for him and later his family and his own children were just as good as those for the owner of the plantation. And he and his children would be invited at mealtimes to come and actually sit and dine with the owner of the plantation. And the two families were treated as if they were completely equal. It'd be interesting to know what kind of a worker that servant was for that master. I bet he was a pretty good worker. You and I were once on the slave block, chained to this world and to the evil kingdom of the devil. But the benevolent master, our Lord Jesus, and his heavenly Father have come to purchase us to be their own, to cut us free from the chains bound to the evil of this world as slaves of death. And because of the benevolence in the heart of a gracious Father, he has now taken us to be members of the plantation of his grace and his mercy, where he shows us compassion and goodness and kindness. And he now treats you and me through the waters of baptism and the gift of faith. He now treats you and me as if we were equals with his Son, as if we had lived a perfect life in front of him, as if we shine with all righteousness like his Son did. And he also has given us the same accommodations to enjoy into eternity that his own child enjoys. Prior to the text that we have before us, our Lord Jesus says these words, "It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's goodwill to just give you the kingdom as a present. But as members of that kingdom, and now on the plantation of this benevolent master, he also has work for us to do with our lives. He also has things that he calls upon us to do in the various vocations into which he will now place us. And to some individuals in his kingdom, he may choose to bless them with more, and others maybe have less. But the expectation which the master now places upon each of the servants, the expectations that he places upon you, will be in proportion to the gifts, talents, abilities, and earthly blessings that he has given to you. And that's true whether it's in the realm of spiritual gifts or in the realm of our temporal gifts. Jesus, right ahead of this text, gives us the famous parable of the faithful and wise steward, the servant. And we're told in Jesus' parable that when the master comes back and the steward has been very good and diligent about taking care of the things that he was supposed to and so on, and faithfully carrying out what the master had required, the master is very happy with him, and the steward, the servant, is greatly rewarded. But he also warns us about the one who neglects his duties, and maybe out of complacency, or maybe because he thinks it's going to be a long time until the master comes back and he's got plenty of time to mess around with his life and not really keep his nose to the tasks that have been given to him. When the master suddenly returns, we're told that this one will be treated harshly. A Norwegian bishop, writing about this text, put it this way: in the entire matter of our lives of sanctification, therefore, a Christian must be alert at all times. Now, the temptation for me, I know, is to keep my eyes sometimes on how other people are doing in God's kingdom. Other people who claim to belong to Christ and yet maybe aren't always doing what they should be doing. It's very easy for me to list off exactly how negligent other servants are on this plantation. Come down to my office sometime. I have plenty of things I could tell you about other people. But our Lord doesn't want our eyes to be focused on the other servants who maybe aren't always doing what they should be doing. There's plenty to worry about right here. There's plenty to be focused on right in my life, right with my talents, my gifts, and where God has placed me in life. Years ago, I was talking to a man that used to go out and request money for a church organization. And he said, "I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody told me, 'Man, if God were to give me $1 million, I'd sure give a big gift back to the church.'" And he said, "I always want to say to him, you know, God could care less what you'd do with $1 million. He wants to see what you do with what he has given you." And that's true not just with our money. That's true with our talents and our abilities. God doesn't want you to sit longing for something that you don't have and imagining what you might do for him or with your life if you had that. He wants to see what you're going to do with what he has given you. And that's of great value to him in whatever vocation you enter that is God-pleasing. Martin Luther used to describe the members of the Holy Christian Church who belong to Christ using the imagery of the architecture of a church. And he said, there are narthex Christians or lobby Christians, there are nave Christians, and there are chancel Christians. They're all in the church. They're all believers. And yet, there are different levels or degrees of faith. There's different levels or degrees of intensity of their faith, and likewise of their commitment to the things of the kingdom of God. And possibly, likewise, in the use of those gifts toward the kingdom of God. God places different sprinkles, if you will, different abilities out into the members of his church at different levels, but he also has different expectations then along with those gifts and abilities. Years ago when I was serving a parish, once in a while I would hear about a family that was going through some tough times, maybe financially. And I would get on the phone and call a few people that I knew would be able to go out and talk to others in the congregation to see if we could raise some money to help these families. And quite often a nice gift would come in, just like that, pretty easily. I knew there were certain people I could call on, and I knew there were certain people I maybe wouldn't try to even ask. And it had nothing to do with their income. It didn't necessarily have to do with how much money the ones had. But I knew. You could just sense the level of gifts of faith of those who might be more willing to serve. And I had one young lady in that very parish that came to me one time, and she said, "I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to challenge me more. I don't think I'm being challenged enough." That was quite a request. "Give me more work." God distributes various degrees of knowledge and faith and spiritual and temporal gifts among the people of his kingdom. But along with that sets different levels of expectation in proportion to that distribution. There's a joy that comes no matter where we are in the kingdom of God, and no matter where we've been blessed with talents or where we have strengths, there's a joy that comes in serving this benevolent master. What motivates us to serve him is not obligation, it's not force, it's not the rod, but it is how generous he's been toward us, treating us like his own son. And just wait to see the living quarters that he has prepared for you on account of the work of Christ. And so now, whoever you are, wherever you are in life, with your life, adore him who gave his life for all. Amen.